Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 27. Ragi karma phala prepsu.
Ragi karma phala prepsu.
Lubdo himsatma koshuchi.
Lubdo himsatma koshuchi.
Harsha shokanvita karta.
Harsha shokanvita karta.
Rajasa parikirtita.
Rajasa parikirtita.
Ragi.
Ragi.
Very much attached.
Very much attached.
Karma phala.
Karma.
The fruit of the work. Prepsuhu. Desiring. Luptaha. Greedy. Hingsa atmaka. Always envious. Ashuchi. Unclean. Harsha shoka anvita. Subject to joy and sorrow. Karta.
Such a worker.
Rajasaha, in the mode of passion, parikirtitaha, is declared. Translation and purport by Srimad Gaurisesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The worker who is attached to work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and who is greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, is said to be in the mode of passion, purport. A person is too much attached to a certain kind of work or to the result because he has too much attachment for materialism or hearth and home, wife and children. Such a person has no desire for higher elevation in life. He's simply concerned with making this world as materially comfortable as possible. He is generally very greedy and he thinks that anything attained by him is permanent and never to be lost. Such a person is envious of others and prepared to do anything wrong for sense gratification. Therefore, such a person is unclean, and he doesn't care whether his earning is pure or impure. He's very happy if his work is successful, and very much distressed when his work is not successful. Such is the worker in the mode of passion. Ragi karma phala prepsur lubdo himsat mako shuchi harsha shokan vitakarta. Rajasa parikirtitaha. The worker is attached to work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and is greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, is said to be in the mode of passion. So, here we are reading Bhagavad Gita. This is the main text, the main book that we are studying from Sanskrit, from the Vedas. And in today's verse, Krishna is explaining about a person who is very attached to his work. Do you know some people like that? Yes, most people, right? Very attached to the work and to the result and to the enjoyment and to everything that you can buy with what you make. Unfortunately, this world is not always giving us what we want. Have you noticed? You don't always get what you want. Huh? Now, there is a saying that when you're at home, you get what you want. But when you're traveling, you get what you get. So it's good sometimes to travel and to go to other places. So one has to lower one's expectation. Have you noticed that most of the trouble is created in the mind because you have certain expectation, something that you expect to happen, and it does not happen, and you become very upset because of that? But if you have no expectation, if you're just accepting whatever God arranges to come your way, you can be happy in any situation. Because it doesn't take that much to be happy. Last 4 months, I just traveled 20 countries in Latin America, Central and South America, and Caribbean. And average salary is between 200 and 300 euros per month. So, here in Slovenia, what is average now? 1500? More or less, right? Nobody will work for less than 1000, right? If they can avoid it. So, but everything is relative according. Before I spent 6 years in America, mostly California, if you don't make $100,000 per year, you cannot live in San Francisco. It's not possible. It's just too expensive. So everything is relative to our sense of perception. Huh? That means if I change my expectation, if I change my sense of perception, I can be happy anywhere. Huh? That's pretty good news, right? Hmm? So, but today we hear about a worker in a mode of passion who is very attached to their work and very joyful about success and very much depressed about bad results or defeat. Hmm? Yet unfortunately, some days you win, some days you lose. It's not going to be always in your favor. Hmm? Sometimes you work a lot, but things don't work out the way you want. And you lose time, energy, money. Other times you're not doing anything, and all of a sudden some opportunity comes. Like today, I walked here in the temple and I meet some really good old friends and had great time with Akshaya Prabhu, who was one of the presidents and Sankirtan leaders here and helped get this place together. And other times you come into a situation. Just a few hours ago I was transiting through Paris and I almost missed my flight because our plane did not land where it was supposed to go. It went to some repair shop and we had to take the bus and they let us out in the wrong place and we had to run and then nobody knew where to go, what to do. It's a big airport, Charles de Gaulle, Paris, like Heathrow. And it got quite difficult just a few hours ago. So sometimes you have this roller coaster of emotions, you know, like you're really happy and then you become really anxious or depressed or sad. You get some bad news that some good friend died or somebody's in trouble. And it's very easy to identify with these situations. Yet the Bhagavad Gita teaches us that we have a right to perform our duty, but we don't have a right to try to enjoy the result. We should do our duty, we should do the best we can in our occupation, yet the result is not really up to us to enjoy. Why it's not up to us to enjoy? Because we're not the controllers and we're not the enjoyers. We're just here to learn, to serve, and to grow. Now, even though you may claim, okay, this is my job, this is my business, I own this, so, but how much of it is actually under your control? Some days you try everything and nothing works. And other days you're not even trying hard and everything kind of works automatically. Have you noticed? Huh? I remember one time my spiritual master invited me to the Govinda's restaurant in Juhu. If you ever go to Mumbai, to India, Mumbai, Juhu has a very nice Govinda restaurant. Like here, but like 10 times bigger. So I was very young. I was young brahmachari, young monk, and little stupid. So I thought, I have to try everything. Did you try everything on the buffet?
In restaurant?
Yeah?
Yes, everything.
Everything.
Yes.
But it was not so much. It was not so much. It was not so difficult.
But I tried.
Yeah. But in Mumbai, you will get 56 preparations. And without getting into details, after that, I had to fast for 3 days. Because I was thinking that I can manage this. But I could not manage this. So then, as a punishment for 3 days, I had to fast and not eat anything. So sometimes we get too much. And then we have to fast. We have to go on very meager. Can you turn off the sound? Possible? Thank you. Does the sound freak you out or you got used to it?
Me?
Yeah. Or you're more tolerant than me?
I'm more
I'm very intolerant person.
No, you
When people have notifications next to me and goes bring, 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 I'm like, what, you win the jackpot or what's going on? You're playing online games, you know? It's like, it's not so important that you have to have this notification on, right? So, we can become attached. Now, of course, it's good to be responsible. Krishna is not telling here, don't work, don't take care of family, don't take care of wife and children. That's not what Krishna is saying. He's saying, do your duty, but don't be attached, like everything has to go according to my way. Because then, not only things will not go so great, but people will feel like this is not so nice, because this person tries to control me too much. Huh? So, greed. Greed means I want more. I want more and I never have enough. Trividam narakasyedam dvarang nashanam atmana kama krodha sata lobhasta smade tat trayantya trajet. There is three ways, three gates that lead to hell or hellish mindset. And that is lust, anger and greed. When we fall into this mindset of I need to enjoy everything. Whatever comes my way, I need to enjoy it. That's a trap. Have you noticed? Sometimes you see something and you think like, oh, I need to own this. I need to enjoy this. I need to have this. I need to get this. Has this ever happened to you? Or is it just me? Anybody?
Yes.
Huh? Sometimes, right? You look at things and your mind tells you, yeah, I need this. And you say, no, you don't need it. You have 10 of that, you know. Don't bother. You don't need more stuff. So, greed. Then, more. When is enough? We don't really need much. And what happens when you have something that you really want, but you cannot get it? What happens?
She said that you accept the situation.
Well, that means you're pretty tolerant and nice person. But sometimes, you see children. Children wants to get something in the store. And mama says, no, you cannot get. Then what happens with the child?
He cries.
Get angry, right? He's crying, screaming, yelling, lying on the floor, kicking, shouting, right? Hitting mama, saying, you're bad, I hate you. And people do outrageously stupid things just because they get angry. Most crimes of passion are because of anger. Somebody got angry about something and then somebody get hurt or somebody dies. Just because of anger. So, never fall into this trap. When lust, anger and greed knock on your door, don't open the door. Don't say, yeah, why don't you come in, you know? Oh yeah, they're nice people, you know? They look good. They will just destroy everything. They will just completely ruin your life. But we think, no, a little bit of passion is a nice thing, no? It gives you the zest of life, you know, like you feel I'm alive, right? And next thing you know, you're in deep trouble. So that's why it's important to read Bhagavad Gita, to read these yoga texts, so that you understand what are the stages. Bhagavad Gita, a little earlier, explained Dhyayato visaya pung sang sangaste shubhajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha vijayate. That by contemplating the object of the senses, just like to give you an example, sometimes you walk along the street and you see some fashion shop with some clothes, right? Some dresses. It happens, right? Then you look at it and you think, oh, this looks nice. Then you think, let me try, let me feel if the fabric feels nice, right? So from watching comes feeling, then, I need to have this. Then you look at the price ticket and you say, no way, like no way, not gonna happen. But then, if your intelligence is not trained and tells you all the good reasons why you don't need this and why you don't have the money to buy this, then you may think, You know, I really deserve this. I need to have this. And I will do whatever it takes to get it. I will beg, borrow, or steal. I will do any stupid thing to get this. And then you get into even more trouble. So this is a sequence. So where do we stop? We stop usually when it's too late. But we should be able to stop it right in the beginning. That when you start to contemplate and think, oh yeah, yeah, this is nice, let me go there. Then your intelligence should be trained and say, nope, we're not going there. Because we know how this is going to end. How many people think that, oh, I can quit any day? Have you heard this before? I can quit any day. I'm in San Francisco, we do Food for Life. There's a lot of homeless people, there's a lot of drug addicts. They lie on the street with a needle in the arm. And they say, I'm cool, I'm good, I can quit any day. I'm like, dude, you're almost dead. And you still think you have everything figured out, you have it under control. They think everybody who has a job is a square person, is like a conservative, is an idiot, because they go to work and they pay taxes. But look at me, I have a free house, I have free food. Yeah, you're lying on the road. Huh? But the mind is very strong, and it can justify everything. Does your mind ever justify things? Does your mind ever say, no, it's okay. It's okay. Everything's fine. You got it figured out. Everybody in this world is an addict. The question is just to what am I addicted to? I don't care whether you're addicted to money, to power, to sex, to drugs, to ego, to fame, or just to your little comfort zone. Do you like your comfort zone? Huh? If not, then stand up and stand right here for 10 minutes. No one's going to do it. Why not? Because, hey, I'm okay. I got my little thing here going, you know. Do you ever go to the garden and you lift a rock? Do you ever do that? Do you have a garden?
No, not yet.
You live on the fifth floor in an apartment building? Yeah, no garden. Anyway, you have a nice park here. We just went walking today with my friend. So, try it out. Lift a big rock. What is there when you lift a big rock? What is under the rock?
Earth.
Earth, yeah. And what's in the earth?
Worms
and bugs and all little creatures, a whole lot of things. And they will look at you and say, hey, put that rock back. This is my home. This is my comfort zone. Don't disturb my peace. That's what these guys are saying. Because for them, that's their comfort zone. So any place can become your situation, your cocoon. So thank you for visiting. If you need to go, it's okay. Yeah. Come again. This is going on every day of the week, okay? 365. Me? No, I'm only here till Monday. But there's a lot of fun going on here every day of the week. So please come back as much as you can. And you can get one of these books. You know, Bhagavad Gita is the main book, okay? He can hook you up there. He knows. He's a professional. All right. Have a great day. So, unfortunately, we're not paying really that much attention to what the Gita tells us. Thus we get into trouble time and time again. And we find ourselves in situations that are very compromising. Very compromising. And then to backtrack your steps and to backpaddle is very difficult. Huh? You ever try to drive in reverse gear in your car? It's not so easy, right? Confirmed. Huh? I mean, you can look out the back window, but it's really not so easy to backtrack your steps. Like you think, yeah, I can make this, I can kind of cover my tracks, But it doesn't work like that. Because in the yoga, psychology, vasanas, impressions, whatever we experience, whatever we expose ourselves to, leaves impressions in our mind. And it's very hard to get it out of our mind. Have you noticed how sometimes things come back from decades before? Songs, movies, names, events, they just pop up. And you're like, I haven't thought of this for 30, 40 years. Why is this coming to my mind? Huh? Now, one way how to deal with impressions is, like in computer code, you can override a code. You know, you can overwrite it. So you just write over it. And in this way, it'll get erased. But there's another example of that. If you have wine or alcohol in a pot, even if you wash it many times, still some smell will remain. Something, some flavor will remain. That's why sometimes Krishna gives us certain tests, certain challenges, to relieve us of our last vestiges, our last fractions of attachment that we still have to certain things or activities or events. Tatenukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagvabubir vidadan namaste jiveti yo mukti pade sadaya bhag. You know that one? 10:14:8. Okay? You can write it down. 10:14:8. If you want to get a tattoo, 10:14:8. Okay? What does it say? This is Lord Brahma. Huh? Prayers. And it basically says that when we patiently tolerate whatever obstacles, whatever difficulties that come in our life, knowing very well that this is Krishna's mercy. Krishna is doing this in order to free me from my misconceptions and from my last bits of attachments that I have to things and activities that are really not good for me. So when a devotee has this mentality that he sees that this is Krishna's mercy, not that this is terrible, this is bad, this is crushing, this is wrong, this is outrageous, this is criminal, but no, this is Krishna's mercy, because he knows that I'm weak and I'm still tempted. I still think, oh, maybe this is a good idea. And then he just gives you a little slap. And if you can accept it as Krishna's mercy, and you're patiently waiting and accepting whatever it is that Krishna sends your way, then mukti pade sadaya bhak, then liberation becomes your rightful claim. Then Krishna, he will grant you that kind of realization. So, how are we doing here? 7:45. Okay, we got 12 minutes for questions. Any questions? I could talk more about the person who is attached and greedy and lustful and passionate and all that. But I guess you got the picture. You got the idea, right? So how to change this? Well, one way is to regulate it, Nishkam Karma Yoga, that we say, okay, I work, but I work for Krishna. I'm not just going to do it to become a great success in this world, but I'm going to do it because I know everything comes from Krishna, so I'm offering the fruits of my work to Krishna. Or you can do Bhakti Yoga. You say, I do everything for Krishna, and whatever Krishna gives me, that's his mercy. I'm happy with that. I don't mind. Whether it be little or whether it be much, it's his mercy. I'm okay. That's bhakti. So, the science is there in the Bhagavad Gita. That's why we should read Bhagavad Gita every day. So we don't get bewildered. Because sometimes we have devotees who are confused. And just the other day I got a question in Florence. One Mataji, she was asking that, but isn't it that we need karma and jnana? Because otherwise, how can you serve if you don't have things and you don't know anything? No, bhakti is completely independent from karma and jnana. Karma and jnana are byproducts of bhakti. They're secondary. You can engage them in devotional service, but devotional service, bhakti, is not dependent on how much you know or on how much facility you have. In fact, sometimes you may not have anything. But you can still do bhakti. Huh? You may not know much, but you can still do bhakti. In fact, for the most part, we're not advocating to become illiterate or but we can see that Janmashraya Shutashri Bir Edamana Marakpuman Kunti Devi Marani says that people who have good birth, wealth, education, beauty, it's very hard for them to surrender to Krishna. Have you ever met somebody who said, I already know? Huh? It's a regular flavor, right? Yeah? I was in Rishikesh distributing books and I met one yoga teacher from Ukraine. And I said, Bhagavad Gita, I already know. And I saw if I say one more word, he will give the book back. So I was just quiet. But I was praying in my heart, Krishna, if I've ever been a good boy, I'm ready to trade all my bhakti credits. Please give him the mercy. He needs this Bhagavad Gita because he's a yoga teacher. Some people listen to him. Now he's a little proud, but if you give him mercy, he can take. After 7 seconds, he looked up. He was looking at the book. He was not a bad person or something, but he was just a little proud. So after 7 seconds or so, while looking through the book, he looked at me and he said, I feel love coming from your heart. How much is the book? I could not distribute this book, but Krishna could distribute this book. Huh? So cooperate with Krishna and you will see miracles every day. Every day. Huh? And not just like, you know, rabbits coming out of hats and, you know, cutting girls in half and, you know, the circus type of miracles, but, you know, like the real stuff. Hmm? One, talking of miracles, one man came to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, can you do miracles? And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, can you show miracle? Prabhupada said, yes. And then Prabhupada just pointed to all devotees and he said, this is my miracle. I have transformed all these people. And now, they in turn transform other people. That is a miracle, right? If you look at yourself now and you look at yourself like some while ago, before and after, is a miracle, right? This. Sometimes we're a little too hard on ourselves because the process is gradual and we're slowly, slowly making advancement. But if you think back, we've come ways. And of course, we've still got ways to go. But that's the whole fun. That Krishna, bhakti is not a stagnant thing. It's not that, yes, I have achieved. Sometimes devotees who come, they think, oh, I'm initiated now. I have achieved perfection. What does it mean, initiation?
The beginning.
It means you're a beginner, yes. It's not the end. It's a beginning. So welcome to the beginning. Huh? We have a seminar, it's called Life After Initiation. Oh really, there is a life after initiation? No, after that you're first you come here, you're new and you're a bhakta and you're all humble and inquisitive and Prabhu, any service for me? And then you become initiated, then you become Prabhu. And then you want to become Mahaprabhu. So, we have to be aware that the mind is very strong. That's why Krishna is giving us this kind of information in the Bhagavad Gita, and we should read it and discuss it and apply it every day. And you'd be surprised, people are interested in this kind of stuff. Right now, if you were going to Harvard Business School and you do an MBA, a Master of Business Administration, there would be a class on Nishkam Karma Yoga. They don't call it that. They say you have to do your duty, but don't be, you know, you have to be more process-oriented and not so much result-oriented. It's Nishkam Karma Yoga. That's what they're teaching those business people. Because you can't go into business and think you will win every day. You have to be principle-centered, not result-centered. Huh? So where did they get it from? Bhagavad Gita, from Krishna. Everybody's cooking with water. Nobody can do otherwise. Everybody has to take from the same source. Huh? But the devotees are the ones who recognize from where everything is coming, and they're using it for Krishna's service. And thus, Krishna grants them a whole different type of realization. Huh? So we're very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given us these Bhaktivedanta purports. And we can see how these books are changing people's lives. Huh? How people become transformed just by reading a little bit in Prabhupada's books. We were distributing books in a music concert in America. And sometimes things get a little wild, you know, in music concerts. It's a little bit like Kumbh Mela, you know. You've been to Kumbh Mela? Get a little crazy, right? Sometimes, like, different groups of people move in the same direction and then it's like big jamila, right? Like big jam. Huh? They call it mosh pit. Sometimes they dance very wild and throw things around. Sometimes books get torn up. One guy, he found half a page of Bhagavad Gita. And he was running around. Where's the rest of the book? Where's the rest of the book? Because he was so excited by what he read. But he didn't know how the story ends, you know? So I said, cool down, I got you. You know, I got the whole thing here. Okay, you're good. You're going to get But people who think, I already know, for them it's really difficult. It's really difficult. Because their mind has already tricked them. Oh, you already know. You don't need to go and listen to these people there, you know. Nowadays we meet many people who are, you know, a little compromised because of the modes of material nature, who have a very strong grip. Modes are the gunas. Guna also means rope. So they're tied up by the ropes. It doesn't matter whether your ropes are gold or out of silver or out of iron. If you're shackled, you're shackled. If you're bound, you're bound. You can't move. So, tarajastamo bhava kama loba dayaschaye chetai tairanavidam sitam satve prasiyati bhajanti ananya manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. So we have to come out of the modes. Are you out of the modes? Are you out of tamas and rajas? Sometimes. What is the conditioning in the mode of goodness? One we already had. I already know. Knowledge. I have knowledge. What's the other conditioning in the mode of goodness? I'm good. I'm happy. I don't need this. I'm good. You ever have people like that? It's very hard. How do you argue with a person like that? Oh, I have something better, or, you know, this is great. They're like, I'm good. Then it's like, okay, go have fun. Come back when you're suffering. It's hard. People get really conditioned by that. But Krishna is very merciful, he's very kind, because in this mature world, nothing is pure. So the mode is always fighting for supremacy. Thus, there is no real enjoyment. There's always a little enjoyment, a little suffering, a little boredom, a little hard work. There's always the mix going on. So, eventually, everybody starts to figure out this is not such a great place because everything is very unpredictable. Like today, the day has been very unpredictable. It's been a real roller coaster, really all over the place. But what can we do? We just have to keep moving forward with full faith, knowing that Krishna has a plan. And if I voluntarily surrender to Krishna's plan, and I endeavor with honest means, and I do whatever I do to please Krishna with love, then what happens? Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. Yena mam upayanti te then Krishna in your heart will give you the intelligence by which you can achieve Him. That's pretty nice. 10-10. You know 10-10? Bhagavad Gita 10-10? So we should learn those key verses. And in the last purport, in the last paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada says, you may have a guru, you may be in a spiritual movement, but you may still not know what is the goal of life and how to attain it. Who is he talking about? Who is Prabhupada talking about? About her? About him? He's talking about me, yes. He's talking about me. Have you ever noticed that Prabhupada is talking about us? But then Prabhupada says in that last purport that what I just quoted, if you do everything you do with love for Krishna, then Krishna will give you the intelligence by which you can come to Him. Today it was impossible to figure out where was the way. You know, there was construction, there was no signs. Everybody told me, go here, go there, go there. I was running in all directions. At some point, you just have to give up and say, Krishna, if you want me to reach that destination, please make it happen. otherwise, I'm okay. I'm going to run around here all day, but, you know, I can't figure this out. At some point, we have to surrender. You notice that point when you give up, when you surrender? And then Krishna starts directing you? It's required. It's required. Questions, comments? We're going to be here till Monday morning, so. Yes?
Hare Krishna. So you said this part that we should be act on the pure devotional platform, that means that we do everything and whatever Krishna gives us, then that's okay. And sometimes that the other part where devotees say that, look, I have this need and this need, and if Krishna doesn't, I have to take care of this need and that need, so how to balance and what is real needs and when is like concocted.
Well, the first thing you described, that's pure devotional service that I do to the best of my capacity, and I surrender to Krishna. And whatever He wants, that's fine. I'm happy to go along with that. But then also it says that if you're a grihastha and you have family, wife and children, you have certain responsibilities. So you have to take care of those. Now, of course, we have examples from devotees like Vasudev Datta. He was so magnanimous, he would just give everything away. He didn't have enough to maintain his family. So Lord Chaitanya appointed Shivananda Sena to be Sarakela, or his accountant. So he had to keep his finances. Because whatever Vasudev Datta would get, he would just give it away continuously. He would just give everything away. And then his family was suffering. So Mahaprabhu appointed someone to be looking after his finances. So sometimes people are too generous. Or too careless. That's also possible. And then, in that way, they will create some hardship for people who are dependent on them. When Rupan Sanatan Goswami's retired, they took a year. I know Rupa took a year to settle his estate. Because they were big people. They had a lot of properties. They had family. They had wealth. So for 1 year, he made sure everybody was okay. He gave half to the devotees. He gave one quarter to his relative. And one quarter he kept for emergency. And Sanatan used that later to get out of prison. But it took 1 year to settle all the affairs. He wasn't irresponsible. He didn't just walk away and said, Haribol. You know? So both is wrong. Complete attachment and artificial renunciation is also wrong. Okay? Now, how to know where we stand? That needs guidance, you know? That's why we have mentors, we have gurus, we have people who can help us. So it's a progressive path. And not everybody's in the same situation and in the same phase or stage of life. So to tell everybody, you have to do what I'm doing, because what I'm doing obviously is the best, right? Because I'm the best, so, you know. So that's why you have to do what I'm doing. But that's pretty much the worst advice that you can give people, because everybody's in a different stage of life. And if we're not accepting that, then we're not really Krishna conscious. And in the name of service, we actually do disservice. You've noticed some new person comes and you say, move in the ashram. Probably not such a great idea on the first day. I mean, they used to do this previously. Huh? So we have to know. It takes maturity. Prabhupada said this movement will... You hear that? Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said this movement will spread by organization and good intelligence. Huh? And good intelligence comes from good experience, and good experience comes from bad experience. Mm-hmm. So we have to learn from history. Huh? Other points? Thank you very much. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.